Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josh Allen, his awareness and understanding that this is all about him, he needs to take that next step. He went from 52% completion percentage to 59 last year. Now he's got to go to 64, 65, 66. And if he can get in that range, then the Buffalo Bills, to me, with the rest of their roster, are the clear favorite in the AFC East. And when I look at the Patriots, and we're talking about Cam Newton here, one of the things I've noticed about Cam, more comfortable, ball coming out faster, the accuracy is still spotty at times. Balls behind receivers, balls over receivers' heads. Not something that we're accustomed to seeing in New England, obviously, because of the efficiency with which Tom Brady ran the offense. And it leads me to Peter's point about what's this offense going to look like, because it's not going to be the same. There are going to be some things, there are already some things that we're seeing in practice that are completely different than anything they ever ran with Tom Brady. I can't get into those things because we're banned from telling you that by the letter of the law that the Patriots give us when reporting practice. But let's just say it looks a little bit like Carolina and some of the things that they did with Cam Newton. And how does that change? And how does that change the way teams approach them? And I'll give you one more thing. Damian Harris, second-year running back out of Alabama, third-round pick last year, basically shelved for the entire season. It was a redshirt season. He looks outstanding.
Okay, that's Mike Giardi, NFL Network. I just picked it up for the first time. What was she gasping at? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. You got me.
The running back situation.
Very excited
for the running back situation.
Well, no, but so he mentioned Damian Harris, and she goes, "Ah, wow."
What, it doesn't Murray, take what?
It doesn't take much, exactly. Doesn't take much. Okay, so well, Mike Giardi gave us something to chew on there, but there's one piece of that I really want to hit on. But I thought the whole thing, you know, it gave you some elements. We're going to start off with some football. Maz, how you doing?
Good, you?
Oh, Peachy, thank you so much. Felger and Maz here coming to you on Tuesday, August 25th. We're going to do a lot of football to begin the program today. We're going to be talking to Greg Bedard for the first time this year. He'll begin his regular Tuesday stints coming up, so call this a appetizer, if you will.
Preseason.
Yeah, exactly. This is a big boy in the preseason. So he'll give us some action here later on this hour. We got Matt McCarthy in our update studios. But again, I do want to start with some football and Mike Giardi there on the NFL Network, getting the host back there in studio. Very excited over Damian Harris. Also, is another guy that thinks that Buffalo is the clear favorite in the division. Mike Giardi, a loyal Patriot follower for years and years, has Buffalo as the clear favorite in the division. You surprised we're hearing more and more people feel that way, Maz?
Yes. Yeah, the short answer is yes. Yes, I'm surprised that people are so quickly and simply dismissing Bill Belichick and Cam Newton. And to me, that's really what it comes down to. Now, look, the opt-outs, I think, really altered people's perception of the Patriots, and rightfully so. So, because I remember how I felt that day when I saw that Hightower wasn't going to play, and I went, ooh, that's a big blow, let alone Chung, but I think they can withstand Chung. But even so, I just think there's no way to me to eliminate the Patriots until we see what it looks like with Newton. There's just it's too big a variable, and Newton's ceiling is high, and I think people are stupid to eliminate the Patriots without knowing what Newton is.
Doesn't feel like Newton's given them much juice in some quarters. I mean, my God, the hype machine with this guy. Never mind how he feels about himself. But, you know, how he was hyped up and MVP and Cam Newton this and Cam Newton that. I mean, if he's all of that, how are the Patriots not a consensus division favorite? If Tom Brady were back, they'd be a consensus division favorite, wouldn't they? So, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, that stands out to me. The fact that there's what feels to be a growing number of people who are looking at Buffalo, overlooking the Patriots. They must not think much of Cam Newton. Well, Mike Giardi even said in that report that his accuracy is not what we're used to seeing around here in New England. Balls behind receivers, balls not on target, et cetera, et cetera. But the real piece that I want to hit on was when he talked about the Patriots offense and what they've been running at camp. And this is something you just hear through the cracks because, as he mentioned, the guys are not allowed to report on formations, unusual plays, or the types of plays that are being running. They're asked to be non-specific about that stuff. So he can't tell you exactly what the Pats are running. But suffice it to say, he says it's a completely different offense, closer to what Carolina did for Cam Newton. So we can only assume as quarterback keepers, RPOs, read option, guys in the shotgun, you know, that sort of stuff. If that's the direction of the Patriots offense, and I think it is, I think it's clear reading between the lines of these guys, meaning the reporters there at camp. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the Patriots morphing their offense to that style of offense?
Well, to me, it's the right thing to do. But I you know, I think you have to tailor it to the personnel you have. And so now this raises, you know, a truckload of questions, some of which are related to Jarrett Stidham. You know how I feel about this in terms of if you're going to suit the offense to Newton, and you should. You can't ask Newton to play a different offense if he can't handle it. Now, if he can handle it, that's something different. But given the transitions people have had to go through in the past to play here, given what Newton is accustomed to, given the time a transition is going to take, even if he's good at it, okay, all of those things, the right thing to do is to make it as easy on him as possible at the beginning, as simple as possible at the beginning, and then see where it goes from there. So I think it's the right move.
What do you think, McTakey?
No brainer. I mean, he's your quarterback, right? I mean, they built their offense around Tom Brady for 20 years because he was the starting quarterback. Now Cam Newton is the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. So you build your offense around your quarterback, even if it's just for 1 year. And I think, you know, there will be some people expressing concern. Well, you know, Newton's just a rental. You know, what happens to Stidham? What happens if he's playing in this offense? Who cares about Jarrett Stidham? Okay. All right. We're talking about a career backup here. At least that's what I think he is. If they felt that Jarrett Stidham was the answer, you think they bring in a guy like Cam Newton, change the offense, and then make Stidham learn another offense before then taking over next year? I think this says two things. One, they're building around Newton for this year, which they should. And two, if you're building your offense around Newton, it says that they're not concerned about the development of Jarrett Stidham because that is not of paramount concern to them anymore.
I mean, it's a big point. It's a big point. What offense is Jarrett Stidham going to be learning? And if
right.
They're going to have him running this offense, what do they really think about him? That's not really where I'm coming from. I hate it. And look, I'll say in the same breath, it's probably the thing to do. I mean, you should tailor your scheme to the players that you have on the field. And Bill's done this repeatedly over the years. And the offense has stayed the same because it's been the same quarterback. So they've had, you know, roughly the same sort of system. But on defense, he does it routinely. Some years it's a 3-4. Some years it's a 4-3. Some years they're playing more man. Some years they're playing more zone. You know, so he does it on defense routinely, right? And now that he's lost Tom Brady and the consistency there, maybe we'll see it more on offense. So, like, I get it. That part's obvious. But what I don't like, Maz, is it goes back to what was the plan here?
There is no plan.
So, and if this is the plan, the plan blows. So, unless you plan to be Cam Newton for the next 5 years and this is what your offense is going to be, okay, that's one thing. Okay, so then there's your plan. Well, then why'd you wait so long to sign him? You know, so it's like this is really a 1 year guy. Now you're changing everything you do to fit him, and he's gone in a year. In the meantime, the young guy you want to develop is not developing in the system that you want him to develop in. And oh, by the way, let's be honest, this RPO stuff and the running quarterback stuff, it's popgun garbage NFL offense. Don't we agree? Don't ideally you want a pocket passer and a pure NFL passer? And I understand these guys from Pat Mahomes on down, they move around a heck of a lot more than they used to, and mobility there is important. And I'm not, you know, it's not like it used to be with Dan Fouts and Drew Bledsoe, the dinosaurs back there. But all things being equal, you know, the RPO stuff and the read option stuff, it's tricked up garbage. It's not what Do you get his heart of hearts? That's what Bill Belichick wants to run on offense?
No, because it doesn't give him really enough control. And again, he loves control. So look, to me, I think the word you're looking for is gimmicky. It's a little gimmicky. And so, you know, I always equated to, remember those years where the Patriots couldn't run the ball and they had to hand it off to Danny Woodhead out of the shotgun? You know why they did it that way? Because they couldn't line up and run it. So it was gimmicky. And so now look, again, at the end of the day, I hear what you're saying, that you like the Brady offense better than the Newton offense. So do I. It's more controlled. It's more stable. It's more consistent. You know what you're going to get, all those things.
Can I just say, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Maz. Like, isn't the best case scenario that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels keep their system, which is proven, which is they are comfortable with, it's their comfort zone, they've been doing it for 20 years, and you plug in someone who can play their offense? That's what I wanted.
Then they should have signed Andy Dalton.
Right.
Or traded for him. Right.
Right. Right. Exactly. Their transition plan here sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Like,
you know what? I'm just coming around to this.
Go.
I think their quarterback transition blows. I mean, so this is it. You're going to sit there with your Schmenzer in your hand for 2 months, and at the very end, you're going to sign a guy who you have to completely change your offense for, but just probably 1 year. And oh, by the way, it's a tricked up, gimmicky offense to begin with that you probably don't even believe in. And it's certainly not your comfort zone because you haven't run it for 20 years. And so this is what you're going to do? Ah, feh. Feh. Why don't you sign someone? Or, you know, first of all, they believed in Stidham. So, big fail there.
Thank
okay?
You.
Not ready. Right? Okay, so that's the big one. But then how about having a guy here that you can just plug into what you do, that you know you can do and you're comfortable with, and all the players ran last year, as opposed to now turning everything on its ear at the last moment for a guy who's here for 1 year and then he's gone? I think the whole thing sucks.
Yeah, to me, they're flying by the seat of their pants. And you know, so now you're talking the bigger picture. And I think that part of it is apparent. And I told you from the very beginning when they brought Newton in here, I said, well, what does this do for Stidham? So Stidham's going to spend 1 year under Tom Brady learning that offense. And now Newton's going to come in and they're going to alter it. He's going to learn something altogether different. Let alone Hoyer, who, like, and I don't mean the learning part. Can Hoyer play the same offense that Cam Newton can? And if he can't, does that mean you have to completely change the playbook if the backup gets in? So, like, I just feel like they're sort of all over the place. And now, look, again, I would build it around Newton. What I'm starting to wonder is, what if Newton's also the long-term plan, Mike?
Okay, then that's different. And I'll, like, okay, if this is what you're going to become on offense, and this is stage one of a 3 to 5 year plan, and this is the building block year, okay, fine. Do you get the sense that that's what that is?
I don't.
No.
I don't. But with him, meaning Bill, I rule out nothing. And so maybe Bill, because if they're willing to do this, and Matt touched on this, if they're willing to do this, well, then is there any chance they're looking at Stidham and saying, well, he's either going to run this offense next year or we're getting rid of him anyway, because after this thing, we don't fully believe in the kid. And if that's the case, where are they going to turn for quarterback?
So, I mean, and as you say, I think Stidham can do some of the things Newton can do. He's not as big, but he is a mobile quarterback, and he is, you know, coming out of college where the college offense kind of crap that the Pats are going to run to suit Cam Newton. Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick have a good offensive system. They like their system, and it all worked, and I don't think Brady made the system. I think it was a confluence of the two, okay? It certainly helped to have Brady, but why not put someone in to do what you've been doing for the last 20 years? Or just how about the last couple? I mean, I don't even need to go back 20 years. How about just the last couple, or how about just last year? So now, like, all these receivers that you're trying to get on the same page with and trying to develop all have to, you know, all flip what they're doing to suit Cam Newton, who's gone in 16 games. Like, I just think as a master plan, it's like the big macro plan is what is my beef. You know, what's your plan? What were you intending to do here in the short term? I get it. Okay, Cam Newton, he's not suited to under center, three steps, balls out, quick little timing route. You know, he's not that kind of player, so fine. You suit your scheme to the players you have on the field. Like, I totally get that. But I just think if that was the big picture plan, I don't like your plan. I don't like it. So that's your leadoff Patriots thought. Sorry, it's negative. It's a little negative.
No, you're not.
But I can't help it. That's just the way.
No, you're not. Sorry.
No, you're right. I'm not sorry. That's true. It is negative. I'm digging the Cam Newton thing less by the day. I still think they're going to win the division, by the way. I think all these people that have Buffalo clearly ahead must think Cam Newton sucks. or what? You know, or you know, not giving Bill the credit, whatever, or some putting too much stock into the Bills. You know, you want to get burned? You want to get bitten the pecker? The first thing to do is to put your faith into the Buffalo Bills. Like, what's wrong with people? We're starting with football. The big boy is going to join us, give us his impressions right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Failure Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go.
No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait.
Duct tape and a wrench.
Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench.
And a bucket and a towel. More duct tape, a hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felga, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the program. As far as I know, Big Boy Tuesdays will be continuing this football season. That means Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal Tuesdays, as per usual.
Oh, boy.
So consider this a training camp version of Big Boy Tuesdays. So I've been told we have the big boy now on some sort of connection. This isn't, you haven't called us on a landline? How are you reaching us here, Greg?
Okay. I have no idea. Supposedly I'm on Zoom. I don't know. Can you see me? Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, we can. I think we can do both. It actually works. How about this?
So on the radio side, there's Greg Bedard on the Zoom. How come his camera's already better than mine?
Because you're a cheap.
Because you have no idea what you're doing with technology, Felger.
There it is. I paid for this thing. I bought a new camera. This is a new HD camera that I put up here. It still sucks.
Yeah, from like 1995.
Whatever.
You got to pay for better internet.
I did already.
Liar.
God damn it. That's so freaking annoying. I feel like throwing something. I've paid for better internet. I bought a camera. God dang it. What's up, Greg? How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
That's so annoying. Your buddy now he's on a delay. I'd rather him on the landline. Never mind. Greg, how has Cam Newton looked this camp? Give us an honest assessment. How has he looked?
He's been fine. I wouldn't say anything more than that. I mean, look. What you have to understand is Cam Newton, especially right now, early in this Patriots offense, he's never going to win a 7-on-7 battle. It's just not going to happen. Both with the weapons, a lot of them are sort of new. Him being new in the offense, they're never going to be able to line up in, say, a third down session, which we saw a lot the first week, and win going up and down the field. They're just not there yet. You know, when you talk about Cam in this offense, it's got to be a ground-based offense. He has to do his thing as far as being a multi-dimensional weapon, and then that helps open up the passing game. It helps him be a better player, and so I think they're going to be okay, but it is definitely going to be a work in progress.
Okay, so but you're talking about him and the fit in the offense. I'm talking about him. How does he look? How does the ball come out of his hand? Is he accurate? How has he looked?
I'll tell you. You know, I've been looking at that closely because he does have the shoulder issue. Some people think it's a chronic shoulder issue. I know Zoe brought up the stuff about his mechanics, but I think he's looked pretty good. He's throwing the ball pretty good. I know you read a couple days ago about me criticizing that he hasn't aired it out. He has aired it out more in the past couple days, including today. It was a play, you know, they were running sort of like a scout team, a look team for the defense, but he threw a nice sideline deep pass to J.J. Taylor, the undrafted running back. It was a really nice pass. He has thrown the ball well, short, medium, and long. His mechanics are never going to be a Picasso. They just aren't. He has a weird stride. His shoulder motion, his elbow is lower than his shoulder. It's very unorthodox, but that's the way he's always thrown. There are going to be passes where He tries to uncork it, and his top half of his body's going towards the sideline. His head's going, you know, in a different direction. It's not going to look pretty, but he's throwing the ball fine. It's just, you know, is he going to be able to execute the offense, you know, when it comes time for the season opener?
So as it relates to the offense then, Greg, because, you know, Mike Giardi says they're already incorporating things that Newton did in Carolina. Are you seeing some of those same kinds of changes? Are they starting to tailor this for him?
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard some of your discussion before this. And, you know, what you guys have to understand is
– educate me.
And this is – say that again?
I said educate me.
Yeah, okay. I will. This – whatever you see – say the Patriots run the wishbone offense or whatever. None of it is a departure from what they do. Like, basically, the way it was explained to me was that 75% of the offense is set. It's in the playbook. It's sound. It's tried and true over years. 25% of it is game plan wrinkles for that specific opponent who the Patriots have on the field. So, yes, Cam Newton might run read option or whatever, but that is in the playbook. The play is in the playbook. How they get to the play is a little bit different, but it's not a big departure for Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer. It's just much like when Jacoby Brissett, the offense that they ran for him on 4 days, you know, that was a Thursday night game against the Texans, that they were able to incorporate it because it's in the playbook. So it's not a big departure. Yes, it's going to look different. And I can tell you, and I wrote about this all on Saturday. So if you want to know exactly what's going on with this offense, read what I wrote on Saturday, which is, this is going to be bully ball. The Patriots are very excited about what they are building from the offensive line to the fullback. The tight ends, we'll see. Even N'Keal Harry, Cam Newton behind center. These guys, they are going to be physical. They are going to be tough. That's going to be the persona of this offense. And then the passing game comes off that.
Do you like that approach? Oh, you probably do. Why am I even asking that? Do you think I mean, I know how you feel about it. Do you think that's the right approach in today's NFL?
Well, that's a different question, and that's a good question, and we'll see. Because, look, the Patriots can think they're tough as hell as much as they want, but at some point in time, they might be down 10 points, and how are they going to do? Could tell you right now, from being out of practice, I don't think they're going to do very well if they fall behind. But, you know, I do think this is where they have to be right now. And you'll have the argument with Brady or Stidham or whatever, and maybe it's valid. But where they are right now, I could tell you, I think the offensive line has looked tremendous. Even Illuminor, as part of the mix for Cannon, has looked really good. Jakob Johnson looks like a freaking bull going through there. He looks like an upgrade over James Devlin to me. And Damian Harris, I'm sure we'll talk about him. That kid looks sensational. And so you combine that with what Cam, the way defenses have to account for Cam in every single play, then all of a sudden you have the makings of an offense that can be consistent and put up points. But, you know, I think it's going to be a work in progress.
No, it's good. They get the power sweep, the Green Bay power sweep going. That's what it's going to be. Take us back to the 60s. Ground and pound.
Greg Bedard joins us with the Boston Sports Journal on Zoom. I guess it helps with the visual if you like looking at Greg. I do appreciate you did have a good landline, but be that as it may, who am I to talk with my crap-ass technology? Are you concerned? Do you think the team is concerned about Jarrett Stidham?
Yep. Oh.
Go ahead.
Hang on one second.
Oh, God.
Amazing lead-in. I'm just having a little audio problem. Hang on.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a glitch. I fully expect that.
Pick up the phone. Yeah. Pick up the phone and call us, and you can still keep the Zoom. How's that?
You know, that's fine. But where I think they are as far as Stidham goes, they are disappointed in the way that he has he didn't grab hold of it even before the injury. And the injury itself is just it's a problem. It's a soft tissue thing. And you cannot do that if you're 24 years old and trying to win the starting quarterback job for the Patriots after Tom Brady.
Do you believe that there was a time this offseason that they felt he was the guy? And they were disabused of that notion at some point in the offseason, and that's why Cam Newton is here.
No, I've never believed that, and you guys know I never believed that. I was told, remember, we'll go back. Early January, I asked people who would know what they thought of Stidham because I didn't know what was going to happen with Brady. And their response was, he's in a good place. He did a good job as a rookie. He's where Jimmy was after year one, which is it's too early for him, and we don't know. And I think they were there the whole offseason. I think the plan was first it was Brady. Then at some point they would grab whatever veteran didn't have a chair at the end of the day, and then there would be a competition. And I think there was a competition to start this camp. I thought Stidham was the better quarterback the first 2 days, but then he tapped out.
So, Greg, the fact that he is where he is now, do you think they still have the same? Because to me, the real question with Stidham is about the long term, not the short. Has this altered their long term perspective on Stidham?
No. I mean, I do think right now he's in a battle with Hoyer for the backup job. But as far as the long term prospects, can he be a starter? I think they're in the same place that they have been. He has promise. It's very rare. I mean, look, what was the guy? A fourth round pick? You know, it's very rare for a guy to be ready to be a starter, even. And look at Aaron Rodgers. He was year four. It took him to start. And so he's fine where he is in part of the process. He's only in his second season. I think really, ideally, maybe next year he's ready to compete for a job. And I don't think they've lost confidence in Stidham as far as that goes.
The more I think of it, the more I hate their plan. So the plan was just to wait to see who shook free, who gave him the best contract. I mean, you're picking the best player or the best contract. And then, oh, by the way, I know there was a pandemic, but you're doing it at the end of June. Meanwhile, you know, Tom Brady signs day one, and it feels like day two, he's in Byron Leftwich's living room, you know, picking up a playbook, getting ready to go from day one. Meanwhile, the Patriots start last. Now they have to change what they do because the style of the quarterback they ended up with, who gave him the good deal, has, you know, necessitates a whole new sort of game plan, a whole new approach, and they're coming at it late. And, you know, like I said, they'll probably land on their feet. They usually do. But I think the plan sucks, Greg. How's that? Their plan blows.
I mean, you might be right, but the proof is going to be in the pudding. I mean, look, this is a defensive-based team that's going to be ground-based on offense. And, you know, a healthy Cam Newton – internally, they're excited about Cam and what he can do in the multidimensional stuff. And look, you know, you have Bill Belichick, who's the greatest defensive mind ever, and he's sitting around there and whatever Josh McDaniels is toying with doing, Bill's sitting back there and going, yeah, that's going to be a problem for the defense. Yeah, that's going to be a problem for the defense. Like, they're going to attack the rules and deficiency of every defense they come across with Cam. And I could tell you there's a lot of optimism in the building about that.
Okay, so here's a training camp edition of Big Boy Tuesday. This is our first initial one. He's trying out new technology. I'd give it a C+ so far, which, you know, for me is actually pretty good. So in terms of true training camp big boy stuff, Maz, that means we have to do three up, three down, and we have to do 10 questions, right? We got to roll through. We got to get our reps in.
Okay, now I haven't been at camp, but can I participate in both?
Yes, of course.
All right, good.
Sure, okay. What's the difference? You talk out of your rear end anyway.
That's true, yes, yeah.
Now.
Yeah, and you talk out of both of yours.
Okay, here comes Maz and Bedard out of both ends. Three up, three down, right after McCarthy's update. Don't go anywhere.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range. State-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won
their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Maz.
All right, training camp edition. Bedard's been down there. Maz hasn't been down there for like 15 years, but he's going to chime in.
Yep.
Okay, Bedard, how's your access been?
I have been there all but one day.
Ah, so they've let you in.
They have let me in. I only missed a Shells day. So if I was going to miss a day, that was a good one.
Okay. Well, here we go. So then he knows what he's talking about.
Big boy's happy.
Here we go. Three up. Number one stud from training camp so far. Who is it?
Damian Harris. The kid has been absolutely sensational. I mean, he's not very big. I think he's listed at like 5'11", 220. He plays about, I think less than that. He plays about 225, 230. He plays big. He's physical. He makes some cuts in his vision that I haven't seen in some time. Certainly, to me, he is an upgrade over Sony Michel. And he is a dynamite pass catcher out of the backfield. It's very natural to him. It's not like he's fighting it. He doesn't look scared to have somebody rip his head off like Michel looks sometimes. So, to me, Damian Harris has been the clear breakout star of this camp, and I think he is the number one running back by far going into this season.
Yeah, nice. This one's a runaway, right? It's Damian. I mean Saquon Barkley. Damian Harris is what I meant. With all the crap that I've been reading about this guy, like, he better be good. And it's a good thing they kept him on the bench all last year since they looked so great this camp. But I'm going to guess, Greg, that people like you are going to tell me he looks like a different player, which is fine, but it's easily Harris.
Yeah, he does look like a different player, but I don't want to overdo it. And there obviously was a problem last year if he never got on the field when they weren't exactly running the ball like, you know, the 72 Dolphins.
Second stud.
Devin Ross, the wide receiver. It's tempting for people to say he's sort of like the flash in the can, whether it's, you know, Jacoby Myers last year. But I'm telling you, there is real enthusiasm about this kid. Privately, the defensive backs rave about his speed, his quickness, and also he's very, very smart. He studies all the time. This kid is going to be a real contributor to this offense.
I get Dietrich Wise there as number two. From what I understand, he's bulked up, he's bigger, he's better, which is great because when the regular, he better get it in now because when the regular season starts, he's either going to be cut or he's going to suck.
Third star there, Greg.
Gunnar Olszewski. This was a kid who a year ago, he didn't look like an NFL player physically, and he barely made the team. They needed a punt returner. He looks like a completely different player this year. I don't know what he was doing in the offseason, but he just looks completely different. He's thick. He's strong. He's still fast. He looks like Danny Amendola out there. He really does. He looks like a 7-year pro in terms of his body. And he's another kid who is going to be a real contributor. This is not Patriots fanboy hype. This is real on Gunnar and Devin Ross.
I will say he does look like Amendola in that uni. There's no question about that, as an aside. I went J.C. Jackson, Greg. From what I understand, Jackson's at a good camp. Another guy to me that will never fully live up to the hype. Everybody's always raving about J.C. Jackson, but from what I gather, he's been pretty good.
Three duds. Give it to me.
Yadni Kajust, the right tackle. This is a kid who was hurt all of last year. When we first got a glimpse of him on the practice field, this training camp, the kid looks like an Adonis. He looks like if you're drawing up an NFL tackle, it would be Kajust. He's long, he's big, he's strong. He could not play when he was out there. The coaches were all over him. He struggled in one-on-ones, and now, I don't know, we haven't seen him in three or four practices. So I don't know. I don't know if he's going to get the Foxborough flu or what, but, that's a disappointment because I thought he was gonna compete for that right tackle job, and it just hasn't happened.
So I went Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham. It's the biggest competition maybe in the league, for crying out loud, with all the jobs that are at stake. And he can't stay on the field because of an injury, you know, to his hip at age 24. To me, Stidham's the biggest disappointment in camp.
Number two, Greg.
Bo Allen. You know, the Patriots didn't sign many free agents. And actually, you could put Adrian Phillips in here, too. They're basically their two, quote-unquote, marquee free agent signings. And Bo Allen has not been heard from. I got Lawrence Guy to say yes, that he sees him every day, but he has not been on the practice field. They need a defensive tackle now that Danny Shelton's in Detroit. And Bo Allen has not been on the field. Not that defensive tackles have a ton to learn, but it would be nice to see him out there before the season over. And Phillips, you know, same way. I thought he was going to be an immediate impactful guy at safety. He was sort of in the background, a depth guy, and he's also missed multiple practices here of late.
See, I'll let you focus on the interior fat guys, Greg. You do yep. those on your own time. My number two dud, Justin Rohrwasser. So, Greg, just make sure that when the next time you see him on the field, make sure he knows that the kick is supposed to go between the poles. Between the poles, not outside them. Right. They're supposed to be between the two yellow poles.
Stay out of the dumper when he's kicking there, Greg. Who's your third dud?
My third dud is a group, the edge rushers. I have not seen much out of them. They are fine when they are allowed to scheme things up and they're working off each other, you know, the whole, you know, stunts and twists and all that stuff, how they've gotten pressure the last couple years. That's really the only way they get pressure. When they go one-on-one with these offensive tackles, and none of them, I would say, you know, are all pros or anything like that, they're getting completely stuffed. You know, and so this goes for Shalik Calhoun, John Simon, Chase Winovich, Uche, when he's out there, they don't show a lot of juice as far as outside pass rush, and they're going to have to scheme up everything, in my opinion.
So I went Mohamed Sanu. I think the guy's useless. Everybody that sees him says he's showing absolutely nothing. So what's Sanu? Nothing. He still sucks. That's what's Sanu. He sucks. So and sadly, I think he's still going to be on the roster. But to me, from everything I've read, he's had an awful camp.
Okay, it's a preseason edition of the Big Boy. We just did three up, three down. We got to do a preseason rep of 10 questions. That comes your way next in our long commercial free segment. And then I promise we will get to your calls. So go nowhere.
Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Who doesn't know Felger and Mass?
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why? This
is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, training camp edition. We got to be quick, Bedard. 10 questions, less than 10 minutes based on your impressions so far at training camp. We have some new buzzer options, I hear. Go ahead, Jimmy. What do we got?
It pays to suck. Suck in programming, suck on the field, suck competitively. We make money.
Excellent. Number two.
$5 foot long.
It's Bill's Subway commercial, obviously, next.
They had the guy. They had him. They had never drafted him. They never had a quarterback until the second round. They had the guy after Brady. Bill had found the guy.
It's a Dutch version of Felger and Maz. Thank you very much. Next.
We go easy on him. We have a star. We.
That's soft-ass Bruins fans not wanting us to criticize Pastrnak. Go. Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday. On a or re-entry Monday. Whatever day it is. My horrible connection. What else? Maz, pronounce it for you. Epidemiologist. That's great when we do that on the air. Is that it? Hey, it's Felger here for fresh air.
Nice. This is the last one.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Thank you. Okay. There's the money one.
There we go. This is the one we want.
All right. Hit whatever one you want. Go. Hey, it's Felger here for fresh air. Okay, number 10. Who will be the Patriots' leading receiver this year, Greg?
I was tempted to go with Edelman, but I am going with James White because I have a feeling that it could be Captain Checkdown Cam.
I also went James White. I'm serious. I have James White. I think it's going to be that kind of year.
Okay, that's a bad sign. Next one, Jimmy.
$5 foot long.
Number 9, who will be the 5 receivers to make the team? And if you get 6, give me 6. What receivers make the team? Who gets cut?
I do think it's 6. And in order, I have Julian Edelman, N'Keal Harry, Demir Byrd, Devin Ross, Gunnar Olszewski, and Jakobi Meyers. No Mohamed Sanu.
Ooh. Okay, so let's just spend a second on that. How has Harry looked?
Harry's been, you know, fine. There was a lot of criticism about him on, I think it was Sunday's practice when he sort of tapped out. I have been told that I think there's been an illness going through the team. I think he might've had it. I think that was an explanation for Sunday. Cause that was his first game back or first practice back. He was better yesterday. He was decent today. I know you guys have been talking about it. I do know that Cam Newton has taken an interest in N'Keal Harry. He's really in Harry's ear. Cam sees him as similar to him at the receiver position where he wants him to play. You know, don't try to be Julian Edelman. Try to be a power forward. You're a power forward. Go be a power forward. So that is happening.
Sarah, hold on a second. Tell me why it's Meyers and not Sanu.
Sanu just doesn't have anything. He's been better the past couple days. And you know, it almost seems like they're trying to cheer him on. And look, at the end of the day, it's Bill's decision. And Bill might be like, he's from Rutgers. We're keeping him. So who knows? But I don't see why you would want to keep him. I mean, between Jakobi Meyers and Mohamed Sanu, you're talking about a difference of $6 million. And Jakobi can get open more. I mean, there were stretches early in training camp, probably the first 5 or 6 practices, where you were like, is Sanu on the field? Because no one's throwing to him because he can't get open.
Okay, next, Jimmy. Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday. Or re-entry Monday. The whole package there. What day is it? Horrible connections, stuttering and stumbling all over the place. Number 8, who's going to be their top tight end?
Right now it's Devin Asiasi, but he did get hurt today. Okay. He stayed on the field, but that's something to monitor. It was his right foot. He didn't look great, but I could tell you they are trying to make that happen, and they're happy with where he is.
Assy.
So is that a bad sign that he's going to be your best tight end?
Yeah. I mean, you'd rather have a veteran option, and Izzo's fine. I mean, I think Izzo's going to be in the mix. He's been better this year. He's still, you know, Ryan Izzo, and he has a limited ceiling, but he's fine. He's probably the best all-around tight end they have right now, but Asiasi has the most upside as a receiver, no question.
Next.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Okay, I was going to ask you who is going to be their leading rusher, but we just heard your glowing report on Damian Harris, so I'm going to assume that's your leader in the clubhouse. So let
Saquon,
me ask you,
yeah, Saquon Barkley.
Okay, what are your thoughts on Sony Michel?
Well, I think he's going to be on the team. I mean, you know, when they got Lamar Miller, who we haven't seen yet, they're both still on pup. I don't know if they're just running together on a backfield or whatever. But, you know, I thought it was maybe sending a signal to the other running backs, and maybe it did. But the way it was explained to me is that it was a depth move, and they think that more than ever, and we all know how the Patriots love their quality depth, but more than ever this year with COVID, quality veteran depth is going to be important. And they see that at, you know, running back. So I think Sony is here, but you know, when you see Damian Harris play, he's everything that you wanted Sony Michel to be. And Sony's just not that guy.
Next.
Hey, had the guy. They had him. They had never drafted him. They never had a quarterback until the second round. They had the guy after Brady. Bill had found the guy.
Number six, impressions of Justin Warwasser.
Shaky. Body language isn't good. He doesn't look confident.
Give me an example of bad body language by the kicker, please.
He just looks unsure of himself. Like when he lines up, like, you know, there are some guys, I mean, even Nick Folk gets up there and you're just like, all right, this is a professional kicker who is like, I'm going to nail it down the uprights, which he's done for the most part when he's been here. And, you just don't get that from Warwasser. You're just, right now it doesn't look like he has much of a clue of where the ball's going to go. And that's never a good thing.
Yeah, no,
it's
clearly.
Like Maz off the tee.
Yeah, no, clearly. I mean, if you go in to take a dump, keep your head up and strap yourself in because you don't know what's coming in. Like, so watch out the porta potties.
Apparently, he shanked him into the porta potties the other day. And so this is why. This is the running joke of be careful when you go caca at Gillette because you never know.
Hold on with both hands
when there's incoming. We're halfway through and now we're at the top of the hour. So, Greg, you got to give us 5 extra minutes on the other side of the hour, okay? Here comes McCarthy. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we pick this up with the big boy. Don't go anywhere.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range. State-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at granitecityelectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.